common at dad's point of view. That's right, B-Sal, he knows what's cool. He's now got his own radio show and a Twitter too. Hashtag dadchick, check that.
Can't I just listen to my son singing, Richard? That's my producer telling me I was live. Well, welcome back to the Bruce Allen Show with Dad's Point of View. You can email me at bruce@bruceallen.com. That's Bruce and Sallon, S-A-L-L-A-N.com. That's S like in scary. Are you going to have a scary Halloween, those of you that are listening live? And those of you that didn't listen live, did you have a scary Halloween? It's time for Therapy Talk with Dr. Jennifer Weberman, who's a psychologist and parent coach with over a decade of experience helping children, teens, and parents empower themselves in positive ways. And she's empowered me and my listeners with all of her wonderful lists. And we're going to talk today with her about the impact of commercials and ads on our children and maybe on ourselves. Welcome back to the show, Dr. Weberman.
Oh, thanks for having me.
Dr. Weberman. Hello, Dr. Weberman. Where are you?
Wait, can you hear me?
Ah, there she is.
Okay, oh, well, thank goodness.
How are you, and happy Halloween?
Happy Halloween to you, too. I'm doing really good. It's perfect you're talking about commercials today with Halloween and then Christmas and Hanukkah coming up. I think it's a good time of year to talk about those.
Yes, actually, now that you mention it, it's a very good time of year. So why don't we jump in with what your immediate thoughts are and what you'd like to talk about regarding
Sure. And for some reason, my phone drops out again. Let me know. You know, I was researching the topic today, and I was curious. You know, we're such a consumeristic kind of culture, and I was curious about how other countries, you know, handle the commercial issues. And I was really surprised to find out what I found out about a lot of European countries that do things very differently. They have a lot of restrictions and policies on commercials geared towards children. In fact, I found that Sweden and Norway, it's forbidden to have a commercial that's aimed at a child under the age of 12 years old. Stores can't display sweets at eye level of children. And I think about how our supermarkets are set up in the cereal aisle, where all the junky cereals are on the lower and middle shelves, and all the healthy cereals are on high shelves where the kids can't see it. It's sort of the opposite.
Whoa, I never thought of that. God, that's disgusting.
Oh, yeah. So the kids can see it and be like, Ma, I want this. Ma, I want this. In Greece, you are not allowed to broadcast toy commercials between 7 a.m. and 10 p.m., which I thought was really interesting. And in
why
the
don't
UK,
we do some of that stuff? God, I'm actually hearing something good out of Europe. I think so much about Europe, especially politically, is just horrible. This is actually good stuff. Although, again, it's the desire to control everything. That's what socialism is all about. We know better. That's what Obamacare is all about. We know better. So we're going to tell you.
And I'm definitely not a proponent of that. I'm not saying we should be like this, but it's so interesting to see that other countries are recognizing the toxic influence. You know, in the U.S., commercials that are geared specifically towards children are a multi-billion-dollar industry. But we're the country that's struggling with an obesity epidemic, high rates of depression and eating disorders, materialism, entitlement, all
suicide,
the things that come with that.
Suicide. Lousy test scores, given that we're the most, you know, rich country in the world. I mean, it's pathetic. Yes.
So you have to wonder if there's some sort of correlation between the fact that we have such a consumer culture and we have all these particular issues. I don't know if you ever saw the movie Super Size Me.
Yes, I did, actually.
Okay. So such a great movie. If you like McDonald's, you should never watch that movie because you'll never want to eat there again. But Morgan Spurlock, who's sort of the mastermind behind it, did this really great little experiment with a bunch of, I think they were kindergartners. They looked like they were 5 or 6 years old. And he would show them pictures of famous people and ask them to identify who they were. And he showed a picture of George Washington, and some of the kids looked confused, and they didn't know who he was. And some kids knew he was George Washington, but when he said, who is George Washington, he'd say, oh, he freed the slaves, or he was the fourth president. And then he showed a picture of Jesus, and one kid said, I think that's George W. Bush. I mean, they just had no idea. And then he showed a picture of
Ronald McDonald.
And the kids were like, oh, that's Ronald McDonald. And they start spewing out all these facts. He helps kids with cancer. He works at McDonald's, and he buys his friends Happy Meals. And I was like, the genius advertising behind McDonald's Corporation. I mean, they use all the psychology necessary to kind of hook these kids in at a young age and make them loyal customers for life. And that's what advertisers do.
Yes, that is what they do. And that is why in the recent decades, politicians have gone to the great ad and marketing minds to help them with their political campaigns. They do the same sort of things to promote their candidates.
Yeah, you're either promoting a need that you didn't even know that you had, or you're promoting fear. Fear of, if I don't make this choice or buy this thing or vote for this candidate, something bad will happen. And
or what's become really horrible is the bad mouthing and negative ad campaigns against the other person. Rather than promoting what you're going to do, you put down the other side. I just find that
fear.
I'm going to be afraid
if that other person comes into power, all these bad things will happen.
Right, exactly.
And
we know about all the truth in advertising as far as all that Obama has promised us. So we know how that works. Not that it's only on that side, even though I do tend to think it's worse on that side. But continue, please, as I try to drift off to politics.
You know, I think it's really important for parents to know certain things about commercials. And part of it is that advertisers are legally allowed to lie to you and to your children. And we can't take everything that they say at face value. And it seems like an obvious statement, but we do it all the time. I mean, you see those commercials for things like vitamin water. It's sugar water. It's pink. It's red. It's blue. It looks like Kool-Aid. But, you know, we give it to our kids because they think, oh, it has vitamins in it, so that'll be good. Or we feed them things like Pop-Tarts and Nutella for breakfast because the commercial says it's, you know, it's a healthy thing for kids to eat for breakfast. But if you look at the nutritional label, there's really not much in there that's very healthy.
Vitamin water, just the name alone, was genius.
It's brilliant, and it's pink.
It's
unnatural colors.
All right, I know you've got a bunch of other bullet points, so keep on going, Dr. Weberman.
Okay, it's important to know that kids before the age of 8 cannot understand cognitively the concept of the intent of a commercial to sell. So for any child under the age of 8, a commercial is just factual information being conveyed to them. And if they're under the age of 5, they actually often can't even tell the difference between the show and the commercial. So it's all kind of part of it together.
Ooh, that's fascinating. Oh, that's so scary to think about. It's creeping me out. Okay, change something else. I can't take it.
So if, you know, these commercials, I remember when I was little and I would see these commercials for toys and they would show a way that the toy could be played with that wasn't realistic, and then in fine print at the bottom of the screen it would say, you know, the toy actually can't fly or whatever it is it would say, but, you know, no child is reading the fine print. So I always had these really high expectations of this toy that I wanted, and then I got it out of the box and it didn't do any of the things that it did in the commercial. It just laid there, and, you know, kids don't understand that, so it's really important to protect them from it. I think DVRing shows and skipping the ads as often as possible is a really good idea.
Well, as I said in the previous segment, my recommendation is not even to have commercial TV in the house until they're after age 10. And now I would say at least till 8, based on what you just said.
I think that's a really good idea. We have to protect them. Mm-hmm. Part of it is also that it's really about the parents, too. You know, can you tolerate your child demanding something and saying no and seeing their reaction, seeing the tantrum, seeing the disappointment of, you know, having them have to wait for it or not have it at all, especially when all their friends seem to have it or other parents are participating in the culture.
Let's talk about the value of teaching our children delayed gratification. That's a huge thing to learn.
Oh, my goodness. If you ever have time to look up the original marshmallow experiment from, I think it was either the 1960s or the 1970s, brilliant illustration of how delayed gratification in 4-year-olds is a predictor of adult success.
Wow.
It's amazing. It's mind-blowing.
Hmm. I think you could add that as another blog of the 342 you owe me.
Who's worse, me or Pastor Drew? We both owe you a lot of blogs.
I actually am more upset with Pastor Drew because I think we need that 1-year history of his first son. Your stuff you could do anytime, but the longer he waits, the worse that's going to be. But go on, please. And besides, I'm not good at not getting what I want right now.
I think it's really important for parents, particularly, to protect their little girls from the sexual or sensual content in commercials. And for your older daughters,
they don't use sex to sell on Madison Avenue.
Oh, my goodness.
Where isn't it used?
The ideal of beauty and, you know, the amount of skin that, I mean, these like skin lotion commercials and things like that, that beautiful looks a certain way or having certain kind of hair or certain kind of whatever is just so important to being a woman is so toxic to our little girls. So don't let them see it at all. But for your older girls, you can't shelter them from it. But you can help them become critical thinkers by having conversations about it so they can look at these things and examine it with a critical eye rather than saying, this is what I have to look like or be like to be beautiful or worthy.
Let me throw something at you that's the reverse of that, because this is something I experienced. When I was a young boy, and I was old enough that I could sneak a look at Playboy, and then started looking at those magazines. There wasn't any pornography available, you know, on the internet, because there was no such thing. There was no home movies. So the only way I could ever see a scantily clad woman, emerging pubescent young man, was to sneak a look at a Playboy, which was not easy to do. You'd have to go into the store and kind of find the area. But over time, the image that was portrayed in those sort of magazines and other ads along the way was the image that I thought the woman or the girl that I should be with should look like. Mm-hmm. And it creates this ridiculous expectation of, oh, well, that's what the woman I should be with looks like. Mm-hmm. And if she's not like that, well, then she's insufficient or deficient is the word. So it has a horrible effect on all of us, both sides.
I completely agree with you. And the way that we perceive beauty is taught to us through our culture, because we've seen in other cultures that what beautiful is varies tremendously by weight, by lots of other features. But in our culture, we're taught that a certain thing is beautiful, and then that becomes your template.
Yes, and it's
so
very
if you're a girl,
hard to
you think
shake.
I have to look that way.
Going back to the whole McDonald's thing, it's very hard to shake that template when it's been impressed upon you at that impressionable age.
Yeah, and I don't want little boys to be shamed for being curious about nudity and you know, women and sexuality, because it's so normal to be curious. It's just important to make sure that you're exposing them to the right things so they don't just get this one kind of limited view of beauty that now we know is actually not even realistic, because those images are so touched up and airbrushed and altered.
Well, not to mention
even the women in the picture don't look like that.
Well, and the ones that do are often anorexic and are a very, very small minority, with the girls looking at, say, the Vogues of the world, and the boys looking at the Sports Illustrated swimsuit issue, and they're both on both sides of the spectrum creating this horrible pressure. By the way, we only have 60 seconds left, so you better sum up what you want to say in the next 20 seconds, plus we have to know where to find you.
Okay, great. I would just add, you know, with the holidays coming, now's a real good time to be extra vigilant. And the story of stuff is something I mentioned in another segment. It's worth going on YouTube and looking it up, Story of Stuff, official version 2007. Really interesting video to show your children. And as far as where to find me, the Parenting Playground is where I blog, .com. On Facebook, we're there under the same name. And on Twitter, it's dr_Weberman. And I'm always at Dad Chat on Thursday nights.
Have a wonderful Halloween, Dr. Weberman. And listeners, stay tuned for some final words after these short messages. Bye, Doc.
He did the most.
Okay, Richard.
From my laboratory.